Oh, it's a Taylor Swift Friday, or as Mike Golic Jr. called it, Tay Day, because she dropped her new album at midnight.
Yeah, the bank yells Tay Day because every day is payday when you are Taylor Swift. Good Lord in heaven.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, the flash drop like this, you rarely see artists able to pull this off. I mean, the last big one I can think of was Beyonce doing like an overnight drop like this where you really have only about 24 hours notice. Impressive stuff. I'm halfway through. Looking forward to finishing post-show.
So we'll try and race through the next 2 hours just for you.
Would be appreciated.
It's probably going to work out for her pretty well.
Yeah. Probably going to. Yeah. I have a feeling she's going to have a future in this industry and maybe even a few shekels to her name.
She'll buy another house at Watch Hills. She'll just keep it going. Golic and Wingo with you, presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We'll check in on the WNBA bubble and on some NBA team status updates in just a little bit. But we also have to deal with some naming rights
on a couple of
fronts as Major League Baseball is underway. We just talked to Doug Glanville. We'll continue the conversation throughout the morning with what's going on with the Yankees winning and the Dodgers winning and Juan Soto testing positive and Clayton Kershaw missing a start because of a bad back. But we have a new name for the Washington football team, and it is the Washington football team. The NFL franchise in our nation's capital just saying, look, for a lot of reasons, we're not ready to have a new name, so we're just going to be going by the Washington football team this year.
So, you know, as far as the name is concerned, of getting a name and going through the process of getting a name and a trademark and all that, I actually understand this move, given where Washington is. And while I think it's probably the right thing to take your time with this and go through all the machinations you have to, again, we had Floyd Reese on, the GM, former GM of the Titans. He talked about when they changed, for Houston Oilers became the Tennessee Titans. That took a year. So, but you look at the reasonings for it. Daniel Snyder did not want to change the name. In fact, he said 7 years ago, I will never change a name. He was obviously forced into changing the name. I'm sure to this day he doesn't believe the name should have been changed. So that all happened. He was forced to change it just a few weeks ago. I could honestly see, okay, you're going to have a name. For anybody said they should have been ready with another name, doesn't know the situation, I think.
Logistically,
of Daniel Snyder, A, never expected and wanted to change a name, and then B, again, where you are in trying to find that new name and all the things you have to go through. So in a vacuum, the decision itself for how quickly they got rid of the name to get a new name, I get. Take the year. Uniforms are cool. Numbers will go on the helmets instead of the logo. Take the year, come up with a name, and go from there. But, of course, Daniel Snyder will not get any credit for that, nor is he deserving of any credit for anything like that.
No, and I guess this is one of those things. Is we've seen this time and time again. There have been a lot of people forced to reckon with things that they did not want to reckon with and wouldn't have if they weren't pushed by everything that we've seen in this movement in the last couple of months in all of this. And we've always said the proof comes after the fact. And whether it was Drew Brees, whether we were talking about NASCAR, all of it was you have chances to show after. The problem is like you said, yes, just siphoning off into this move, it is there's no wrong time to do the right thing.
Right.
But when you've got the backdrop of doing so much of this, not only wrong morally, but also wrong process-wise leading up to this, you lose any shred of benefit of the doubt that would have come your way. And on the other side, you open yourself to what happened yesterday. Everyone pointing and laughing at you because you had one franchise doing this while we had a new franchise in Seattle roll out a new uniform, roll out a mascot, roll out the brand identity for their franchise in a way that was competent and well done.
Yes, and we'll get to that in a second, but I do think it's interesting that the Washington football team name or lack thereof is the thing we're talking about and how convenient it is for them when they've got this massive other thing they have to deal with, these allegations of all kinds of sexual misconduct by so many people in the organization.
Well, and that was a pretty transparent attempt by them with the announcement that they made last Monday trying to say, well, we're going to change the name when we have a name, which seemed like an announcement about nothing, knowing that we are hearing the rumblings about that Washington Post article. So that's what I mean. Like, it's been a transparent attempt to cover up some bad things that have been going on there. And this is probably just another attempt of that. And it's a worthwhile reminder to keep the main thing the main thing. There's an outside investigation going on right now into the real problems in that place.
Absolutely.
Not to say that the name wasn't a real problem
also
in that. But now we're at the point in this exercise where calling it the Washington football team or picking a new team name is sort of shuffling deck chairs the Titanic.
Right. So we'll see what happens with the name and the ongoing investigation there. But you mentioned it. There was another team that came out of the box and just nailed it. And that is the new NHL team, which will be in Seattle. They're called the Seattle Kraken. Emily
Release
Kaplan.
The Kraken.
Thank you very much. Has done a great job on ESPN.com, sort of getting down the entire story. You can read it on how this all became. But she also basically gave us a little snippet of that from her article on basically how the Kraken, and more importantly, the logo itself, and how many levels and layers and nuances there are to that logo for the Kraken came to be. Check it out.
The Seattle team's not going to play in the NHL until the 2021-2022 season, but they finally have a name, which is something fans have been asking for, and it is the Seattle Kraken, and their color scheme is this icy cool blue, a deep sea navy with red accents. And I talked to one of the co-owners of the team, Andy Jassy, and he told me that they looked at more than 1,200 names and seriously considered 100 of them. And one of the names they actually did consider was the Seattle Metropolitans, which is the original name of the team that played in Seattle and won a Stanley Cup in 1917. But one of the reasons that name got nixed is that Commissioner Gary Bettman had reticence about naming a team when there's already a Metropolitan Division. So we did settle on Kraken, but you'll notice in their sweaters, their main logo is an S, and that S is both the mythical sea creature, but an homage to the Metropolitan's original jersey.
Man, they just did it right.
They nailed it.
They just did it, and I cannot wait until I can go online and purchase some memorabilia for the Seattle Kraken.
Oh, you can do it now.
Oh.
You can pre-order it now.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right, then I'm on. I'm doing it. I mean, it is.
Well, we'd have to show them how to buy stuff online.
That
first.
Is absolutely right. I'll get Chris to do it for me. I'll get my wife to do it for me.
I'll double up my order like
I appreciate that
this,
very much. Thank you. Because this is fantastic. I mean, your pregame is set. I mean, right? The lights go down or the lights start flashing or whatever. And introduce your starting lineup. Of course, you'll hear first. Go ahead and play it.
Release the Kraken.
And then the lineups go. I mean, how awesome is that? The Kraken. And that is tough. It's great. I mean, I love it. They did everything right about this.
Interested to see what the in-arena mascot looks like.
Yeah.
Hopefully a Kraken.
I mean, how do you
fully
put that into like a bipedal one that you'd see out there?
Yeah, it will be interesting. But listen, if it's along the lines of how well they did naming this, I have complete confidence that they'll pull this off this is a great name.
Well, the S looks like a sea serpent. It's yes. great. And on the article with Emily Kaplan on ESPN.com, they break down the logo anatomy, the shape of our history. Our history as the Great Ice Game goes as deep as the Puget Sound. The Seattle Metropolitans were the first American club to host the Stanley Cup. Then it says, carved from the sea. Seattle is a city built by the sea. Our forebears' hands cracked in the cold, salty air as they reeled in their lines and brought their ships. I mean, the whole thing is just amazing.
It's awesome.
The eye of the beast. It's just
awesome. I mean, it's awesome. And I guess we shouldn't be shocked. Michael Wilbon hates it.
Yeah. Also the least surprising
thing
ever. About
the one thing you could figure is I think he said on PTI, it's the worst name he's ever heard.
Yeah,
I think it's
the exact opposite of that, actually.
I mean,
the greatest.
It is the coolest.
Maybe that's how you know it's good, though.
Exactly.
If you have upset Michael Wilbon.
Oh, it is fantastic. Again, we got to wait, you know, for them to start till next year. But that's cool. I mean, I do think this is going to be one of those shirts that you'll see all over the place.
By the way, have you seen one of the promotional videos that they put
out
there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's unreal.
It's incredible.
Yes.
They're pulling up the nets, and they see the lantern, the light that goes on top of the goal, and they're looking at what is it. Then a barge goes by that makes the sound when somebody scores and the light goes. It's fantastic.
Anything wrong Washington has done, Seattle has done right. Right? I mean, it is fantastic.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the sort of laughable side-by-side is a lot of people made the joke of, all right, well, you know, Seattle had this announcement and then Washington steps all over. It's like Washington didn't step all over. Bleep. They went out there and stumbled drunk into the alley with this announcement, which again, like, let the Kraken and everything along with it. Like you said, all of that stuff they had made up. The website does a great job telling that story. They had the gear ready to go. A lot goes into these rollouts. A lot goes into designing a logo, a brand. What's going to represent your franchise and all this? So it's understandable Washington is going to take the time. But when you have the background of their very recent incompetence right next to the glory that is the Kraken, it is hard not to laugh.
I'm with you, but I'll say again, in a vacuum, I do think it is the right thing for Washington to wait for that time to get the new name.
No
new
question.
Mascot.
So if we could sum up yesterday in terms of names for teams, State of Washington, nailed it. District of Columbia, work to do.
Yeah.
That might be the best way to go. Golic and Wingo is presented by Progressive Home Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Hey, it's time to do an NBA status update. Let's check in on the Indiana Pacers.
Golic and Wingo NBA status update. Status update. Indiana Pacers.
I'm Pat Boylan, a broadcaster for the Indiana Pacers. As the Pacers gear up for their restart, head coach Nate McMillan has his full group with him in Orlando. Victor Oladipo remains optimistic he'll be able to play. Domantas Sabonis, however, did not play, dealing with plantar fasciitis. But if they're available, the Pacers have two all-stars in their starting five, Malcolm Brogdon and Miles Turner. T.J. Warren, who has been arguably the most consistent Pacer all season. The Pacers for years have hung their hat on the defensive end, and this year is no different, ranking seventh in the NBA. They'll almost assuredly need to do it well to succeed. Their depth and health have never been more important. They could be primed to surprise in Orlando.
So you sit here and look at it right now. Again, there's the eight regular season games left. You got the 4, 5, and 6, Miami, Indiana, and the 76ers. All you have Miami 2 games ahead of both Indiana and Philly. They're tied there. If you want to throw in Boston, there are a couple more games ahead on what could happen in this. But I really think that 4, 5, and 6 slot, again, we're not worried about home court. You know, something Philadelphia would really want to worry about, but right. You're not worried about that here. But as far as seeding and who you're going to play in that first round.
Yep, I was going to say an interesting grouping there and really looking at who could potentially challenge some of these top teams. Everyone's had varying opinions on that, certainly in that grouping in particular. As we know, it's going to be a volatile year, and so if you've got the right matchups mixed in all this, and I heard Bomani Jones talking about this relative to the Heat and the Bucks, stuff like that, you can find yourself in some interesting spots.
So we'll continue our updates on what's going on in the NBA bubble, and then there's the WNBA bubble and what's happening in there. For more on that, we're delighted to be joined by Sports Siren, as she's known on Twitter. Our ESPN Intrepid reporter, Holly Rowe, joins us now inside the WNBA bubble. Holly, thanks for being with us this morning. We appreciate your time. We know there had been a couple of concerns posted by some of the players about some of the things when they first got to the bubble at the campus there, but how would you describe life inside the WNBA bubble right now?
Well, I am sitting squarely inside of the WNBA bubble, or as we are all affectionately calling it, the wubble, and things have gotten better. So, you know, they had a couple of hiccups the first 48 hours. They have fixed those, but I'm going to tell you, my hotel is amazing, clean, lovely. The food's been awesome, and all the players I've talked to are happy. They got any little hiccups. There was only a handful, but they got those resolved.
As far as players and a hiccup on arriving, not arriving, trying to medically opt out, Elena Deladon, that whole story and the road it has taken, what is going on with her, if anything?
Yeah, I don't think that we'll see Elena play this year. She has Lyme disease and some continuing conditions from Lyme disease, and just we don't know much about the coronavirus and how it will interact with her immune system, so she's understandably very nervous. But there are a lot of stars here that are returning to the court. Diana Taurasi is back playing this year, and she's going to take to the court Saturday. You'll see that game on ABC. Sue Bird is back, MVP from 2018, Brianna Stewart. So there are some players who aren't playing, but it is the most star power we've ever had in the league who is back, who did opt in. Candace Parker, Neko Ogumike, a lot of MVP power in the league this year. So it is exciting.
Holly Rowe with us, reporting live from the Wubble, our ESPN NBA, WNBA, all-around reporter in this. And Holly, I'm curious, you mentioned some of those names involved in this, and I saw this tweet yesterday from Rebecca Lobo. Sabrina Ionescu was 4 years old when Sue Bird played her first WNBA game. They're going to square off at noon Eastern on Saturday. Have you heard much about Sabrina and just kind of what this moment is meaning to her, going up against a legend and being around someone like Sue Bird in your first look at WNBA action?
Yeah, there's kind of a cool backstory there. Sabrina played against Sue Bird this year when Sabrina was with Oregon, and Oregon beat the U.S. national team. So Sue and Sabrina have already faced off. But to be fair, Sue Bird was just coming back from a knee microfracture surgery. It was her first game back from injury. So there's been a little beef. We call it the tea here in the WNBA, but Sabrina Ionescu's twin brother, Eddie, tweeted the box score from that and like highlighted what Sabrina did against Sue Bird in that first matchup. Sue Bird had some good sense of humor and responded. Somebody on Twitter sent out this meme that was like a player driving to the basket every single time. And Sue had a good sense of humor. And she said, "How do y'all like my new haircut?" So they're having some fun back and forth. But Sabrina, we actually just covered, I just did her last college game for Oregon right before the pandemic hit. So that's the last basketball game I've covered. And the next basketball game I'll cover is her pro debut. She's really excited. I ran into her in the hotel lobby yesterday, and she said everything's been going really well here. She's very happy with her training camp so far. But one interesting thing she said, she knows the entire New York Liberty playbook. She said before she got here, she wanted to make sure that she knew all the plays, you know, because they haven't really been able to get on a court together except for the last 14 days. So Sabrina knows all the plays already. She's got 7 rookies on this team. I think that's kind of cool that she came in here knowing the whole playbook already.
Yeah, came in prepared. There's no question about it, as Holly Rowe is with us. So, Holly Rowe, we've seen what the NBA plans to do to keep going with the Black Lives Matter movement. And LeBron says it's not a movement for him. It's just his life. We saw what Major League Baseball did to start the season between the Nationals and the Dodgers, socially distance, holding that black ribbon, and so many of the players kneeling, and Andrew McCutchen writing that poem that he got Morgan Freeman to voice. What are the WNBA plans, and how are they going to continue to keep the focus on what they want to keep it on in that front?
Yeah, it's really special. The WNBA, in association with the Players Association and the league itself, they have put Black Lives Matter on the court here. It was actually Breanna Stewart's idea in the beginning, the MVP from 2018, and the NBA liked that idea and they took it for their own in Orlando. The other thing that's going to be very special is opening day and Sunday, on Saturday and Sunday, all of the players will have the name Breonna Taylor. So their jerseys will say Angel McCautry, and then right below that will say the name of Breonna Taylor, who was a young woman, 26 years old. You may have heard about her, shot and killed in her bed in Louisville by police on a no-knock warrant. And you've seen a lot of the NBA players in their media availability when people ask them questions. They have directed that to Breonna Taylor's situation and that she has still not had any justice. So I really think it's neat. All of the women of the WNBA will have her name on their jersey. They want us to continue to say her name and know that there are forgotten women who are often the victims of police brutality. So they want to keep that at the forefront. That was Angel McCautry's idea. She played there at Louisville, and Louisville is where this terrible incident happened with Breonna Taylor. And it's cool. They've been working with her mom, Tamika Palmer, and they actually did a panel and a big Zoom call with all the players and the Social Justice Council with Breonna Taylor's mother night before last. So it's just very special what they are continuing to do here for the WNBA and the Black Lives Matter lifestyle. I like what LeBron said, that it's not just a movement, it is life, everyday life, and we are here to support that.
And we know that some women decided not to play this year to keep that going, but it is impressive. Well, Holly, you're talking about the women inside the wubble, as you are calling it, still making this a very, very important and wanting to keep it on the forefront, no doubt about it. But also, they are there to play basketball. So let's look at this season, this 22-game season they're going to have, again, with some big-time players not going to be there. Who is the favorite? How do you see the season playing out?
Well, I love that, you know, you guys were talking about the Seattle Kraken. So release the WNBA Kraken right now, because I think Seattle is the team to beat here. You know, they get Breanna Stewart back, who sat out last year with an Achilles injury. And she has been able to get some time back on the court playing with the U.S. national team. She had 5 games in Russia there with her pro team before the pandemic hit. And so Breanna Stewart has looked unbelievable. Every practice video I've seen of her looks like she is on an MVP mission. She gets Sue Bird back. But this is a young team that had to learn how to play without those 2 stars last year. And so other players like Natasha Howard, Jewel Lloyd, Jordan Canada, they probably have more talent coming off the bench than some teams have on their roster. So I think Seattle is the team to beat. And then Phoenix, Brittany Griner said she has never felt better. The 6'8 dominating player for the Phoenix Mercury, she was on an MVP pace last year, and she said that her body feels great. She's never had this much time off, and so she actually had access to a gym in Phoenix throughout the whole pandemic. So Brittany Griner looks really good, and oh, you know, she just gets Diana Taurasi back next to her. And then Skylar Diggins-Smith, who is a terrific guard, also joins that team. So we've got some really good teams. Oh, don't forget L.A., you know, Candace Parker, one of the best in the world.
Yeah. That Seattle lineup, though, when you mentioned Skyler is there as well, is absolutely remarkable. So, really, Seattle is winning on a lot of fronts right now. It's basically the takeaway this
morning.
It is
absolutely a good time to be there. It's a great time to be in the Wubble as long as Holly Rowe is there. Holly, we appreciate the time, as always, this morning. Stay safe and enjoy life in the Wubble. We're looking forward to tip off this weekend.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me, and thanks for talking about the WNBA.
You got it.
How about that, though? Phoenix, yeah. You have Diana Taurasi and Brittany
Seattle.
Bryant. No.
Oh,
Phoenix.
Yeah.
Is Diana Taurasi and Brittany Griner, and then Seattle with Sue Bird and Brianna Stewart. How about three of those being UConn players, too? But,
right.
I mean,
and then
just some power there.
Well, yeah. And coming back from the injuries that they mentioned, I saw Rebecca has done a great job putting out some nuggets leading up to the start of the WNBA season. You got 22 games. You'll have five of the teams played 17 of their 22 games on only one day rest. Three are going to play 16 of their games on one day rest, and three play 15 on one day rest. And the Connecticut Sun are going to play 18 of their 22 games with only one day rest in between. So all that time off, and certainly all the players coming back healthy in a lot of this, going to make depth probably the biggest factor in all this, which I think we can say for a lot of these sports is coming back on this, being healthy and having quality depth are going to be the things that probably make the difference the way what usually is a hot pitcher or goaltender in sports like hockey and baseball.
Absolutely. So again, we'll get set for the tip-off this weekend in the Wubble. In the WNBA. Coming up, baseball is off to a good start, although the first pitch wasn't so great. What are the ramifications we can take away from the first game we saw with the New York Yankees and the Dodgers? We'll get to all of that next. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, and ESPN News.
Today on ESPN Daily, boxer Christy Martin was a trailblazer in her sport. But behind her success, she fought for control of her career and eventually her life. ESPN's Allison Glock joins the show to tell Martin's story of survival. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
We're not wrong there.
I do love jingles.
We're not wrong, but unfortunately, we're not going to get a jingle show. And
well, we got five shots at it.
Five kicks at the can.
Five shots at it next week.
I'm going to pretty much guess, that's not going to happen.
Now and later is great candy, too.
Yeah, it is.
Great treat.
One of the more appropriately named candies because they last forever.
They do, and it can get stuck in your teeth a little bit. That can be the problem.
Are Now and Laters the Washington football team of candy names?
Because it's just what it is.
Because it's just literally what it is.
Yeah, you can eat some now and save some for later.
Interesting.
That's a very good poll.
I guess most candies are technically just naming what they are. Like a Hershey's bar is literally, I guess it would, if you just called it chocolate bar.
Yeah.
Or the Hershey's chocolate bar. Yeah, I guess that's what it is.
That's what it is.
Man.
Is what it is.
Is Washington. Man, they should just name themselves a candy.
Oh.
Candy and animals. You can't go wrong, right?
I feel like those are the safe things. As we look for something that's not going to get Washington routinely shamed for obviously being slanderous.
Or monsters like Kraken.
Mythical creatures.
Oh. How about if you combine candy and animals and make candimals?
All right, stop it.
No.
Stop it.
Did you start drinking before the last segment?
I did, and I have your mother to thank for that.
Yeah.
So, Golic and Wingo here with you.
She's got a bar working upstairs.
Don't knock until you tried it.
Everybody's a friend when they walk in a mom.
There you go.
That's what you got to remember.
We're presented by Progressive Insurance.
Oh, dear God.
All phone guests join us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line, including our next guest, who will thankfully save us from ourselves.
Yes.
That is our fine, intrepid Major League Baseball reporter, Marley Rivera. Marley, thanks for being with us this morning. We got the season underway with the Yankees and the Nationals, although we didn't quite finish that game the way we'd hoped to. But it certainly looked like the Yankees are going to get what they hoped they were getting when they paid all that money to Gerrit Cole. He's now 17-0 over his last 23 regular season starts.
Good morning, gentlemen. Absolutely. I mean, obviously, with a rain-shortened game, it is a complete game. Gerrit Cole joked around that at that point, he said, it's ridiculous, it's a joke, but he said it, laughing. The fact that we see excellent performance from Max Scherzer striking out 11 Yankees, and then on the other side, there's Gerrit Cole having pitched just five innings of one-hit baseball, and he comes out with the win. The Yankees are the ones that are 1-0 over the New York football team, over the Washington football team. over the Washington baseball team. Can we call the Nationals the Washington baseball team from now on?
Yeah, yes. I guess so.
We're going to go literal with all sports teams from now on.
All sports in Washington, without question. Then the news off the field, Juan Soto, he does test positive for the coronavirus. And they did say from contact tracing that they don't believe he was around anybody else to infect anybody else. I guess we'll find out when more tests come back. But just how damning could this be for the league right out of the gate having this positive test?
Well, I think it was one of those wake-up calls, right? We are, it's the reality that sets in. Both managers, both Dave Martinez and Aaron Boone, but did the same thing. They're like, we were so excited. You get to opening day, and then the news comes that kind of sets you back, you know, on your feet. You're like, okay, you see, we are trying to play baseball in the middle of a pandemic. And this is exactly what can happen. And Dave Martinez became the first manager, right, to deal with a COVID-19 positive player on game day. And it's very interesting. He said, you know, you worry about the player. The first thing that you want, of course, is for him to be okay. And the great news is that Juan Soto, a very healthy young man, is asymptomatic. But then, you know, it's exactly what you guys said. Now, reliever Sean Doolittle at the end of the game said that they are hoping, he admitted, that they're a bit hoping that it's a false positive because there were a lot of tests that Juan Soto went through. I believe it was 4, what Dave Martinez said, and they were all negative. So the last test was the one that came positive. And, of course, they isolated him immediately, started with the protocols, started with the contact tracing, as you mentioned, and it hasn't been an issue. But the, you know, the Washington team, they were trying to get tested yesterday. It's supposed to get all the results this morning, and we should have further information on the testing of the rest of the team, not necessarily on Juan Soto.
Marley Rivera with us, our ESPN Major League Baseball reporter. And I guess to that extent, how was it communicated to the rest of the players in all this? Because I know you mentioned Sean Doolittle's response, but it seems like there'd have to be a fair amount of anxiety that could come with that if it's not delivered the right way.
According to what GM Mike Rizzo told us in before the game started, what he said was that they get the information in the morning, right? So obviously we did not have access to the ballpark under this new coronavirus very, very strict rules. We normally arrive to the ballpark as writers about 5 hours before the game. We're only allowed an hour before the game now. So we had very limited access, not only, you know, visually to see what was going on in the ballpark, but even, you know, to talk to anybody over Zoom calls. It was just very, very limited. So Rizzo told us specifically that that happened in the morning, which means they informed the entire team from the morning. And Dave Martinez said that he spoke to them. He said, you know what, we're going to be okay. This is part of this pandemic. Of course, this is our best offensive player, so we are going to miss him. And we're, you know, less of a better team against the New York Yankees without him. But this is just part of reality. And it was very almost business-like approach, which is the one they have to have. I mean, it really is crazy. I asked Aaron Boone at what point Dave Martinez became the first manager to have to deal with this. You know, are you concerned about it? And he said, no, in the sense that, not that you're not concerned big picture, but in the sense that this is something that they know they're going to have to deal with and they're prepared to do so.
Yeah, and we heard from Jeff Passan earlier, hopefully it won't be a long time because he has to get those two negative tests and there's time around. And then if you're talking about a couple of weeks and a 60-game schedule, that becomes a significant period of time. So hopefully that's something they can avoid. Marley, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much. We'll see what happens as Major League Baseball is underway. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And it really gets going today. 14 games. Yeah. The only teams not playing, New York and Washington. San Francisco and the Dodgers will play again today with the rest of the league getting after it. So we really get going today as we had the two showcases last night that we got. And now let's, you know, get into the fact of just talking baseball. And I know we're going to talk the surrounding thing, obviously, of COVID. But to just talk about baseball games and not the fact, oh, thank God we have it back. Now let's just get into the season.
Hopefully that's the case. I'm hoping that it's not the problems of four teams become multiplied when all of a sudden you're putting 14 out there and we're hearing all these things like we heard with Juan Soto. That's the fear that I have in a lot of this because you're right. It would be nice for it to feel normal, but as we've seen, 2020 does not allow us to feel normal about things.
By the way, a little news this morning. Ron Rivera, the head coach of the Washington football team, tells CBS this morning's Gail King that the team is not close to making a decision on a permanent name. The biggest thing that we've learned is this is going to take steps. This can't happen automatically, which was interesting because when the initial announcement came they were going to change the name, Ron sort of intimated we have a couple that we really liked, and now it seems like we're going to this is the long play all the way around.
And this makes the most sense. This is not a quick thing. I mean, and again, Dan Snyder was forced to make this change. Really didn't want to make this change. At one point said he never would make this change. In all honesty, if you, again, we'll use the vacuum thing. If you put it in the vacuum, did we really think in a matter of weeks you could go through all the things you had to get a new nickname? It does seem like that was a kind of a ridiculous thought.
The logical timeline and the one that came up when we talked to with Fitz about the Titans team name change and the things that went into that are, all right, we are forced into changing our name now. Yeah. Let's scramble and see if the NFL had any of those names previously copyrighted that we could have used right away that would have made sense and worked. And clearly in this situation, it just doesn't Dan Snyder like it enough to make it the team name. Case now they are back in the mode where they need to take pause and they need to go about this as close to the right way as Washington is going to get, because at this point it's hard for me to believe that they're capable of that.
Right. Well, listen, this is obviously going to be something that is going to be, for some reasons, like you said, Mike, the right way to do it, but it's going to be a long process.
You think Ron Rivera can't wait to actually just coach football?
Yeah.
This dude...
Go
coming
team.
Into this team.
Go
and
team.
What he's had to deal with.
Yeah. That's why I was so glad Chase Young signed the other day. It's like, give him something to look forward to.
But when he says, this is my team, he really means this is my team.
Yeah.
Golic and Wingo was presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Commercial is proud to partner with the small business experts at SCORE. Find a mentor today at score.org. Coming up, how many championships can you bet on in L.A.?
Love it or show. You ready? Everything has nuance. Nothing happens in black and white. See, Bubba's going to hate me again, but I think there's nuance here. You guys have to embrace the nuance in life. Wait, hold on. There's two questions there. Life is not black and white. It's mostly gray.
Just answer the question.
No. Well, which one do you want me to answer?
You're loving the statement.
You
love it or shove it. It's a statement, and then you love it or shove it. This is the first time playing.
No, it's not, and it should probably be the last time playing.
Golic and Wingo is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Cover all your bases with Straight Talk Wireless. Get the same networks as big carriers, only pay up to 50% less. And get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, for just $45 a month. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at StraightTalk.com.
Trey, next Friday will be your last time playing.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I can say, well, the prophecy fulfilled.
Fulfilled.
In the Love
yes.
It or Shove It Open.
We're getting to it.
I knew I was right eventually.
My God, it is going to be Love It or Shove It here, which means two more times with Bubba. Bubba. Bubba, how you doing, man?
Bubba.
What's up? Yeah, well, you know, I'm feeling great because, as you know, Jacob DeGrom taking the mound today at 4 p.m. on ESPN. So the Mets are back.
Is this the year, Bubba? You think it's going to happen in this shortened year? They got a shot?
Because you might be right eventually, too.
Yeah, you know, maybe we're all right. This could be the year. I like where your head's at.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Maybe if we combine Syndergaard like Junior did that one time.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, anyways, let's just focus on Love It or Shove It. Love It or Shove It brought to you by Grainger, all right? I've had enough of you. The NBA champion will be more legit than the World Series champion, who will be the Mets. Love It or Shove It.
Wow, that's a tough one because who's going to lose, you know, someone from COVID?
Right.
And I guess being in the bubble, I guess we all think there's less chance to lose somebody.
It's a mesh hat. It's
not
really a problem.
I guess, but they, you know, have zero positives the last time they test. So
true.
I guess based on that and the fact that more of the start you think will make it through or you hope will, I'll just say I love it and just say I think because that's the reasoning I'm going to go with I loving it.
Yeah, I would say I would probably err on that side as well. My marker is really low for that. It is. It's all right. Who's going to be less affected by this outside source in a lot of this one? I understand a lot of people are looking at Major League Baseball and saying, well, because you would have those three-game series to start it off in the divisional round, I believe it is, after you get through. I just – to me, that's less of a factor in all this. The fact that you're going out there and able to play any semblance of a season makes all of these legitimate. But yeah. If I'm going to parse a little bit here, it is the one that's going to be less affected.
I'm going to shove it because whatever wins, wins. And that's all that matters. Everybody played and whatever happens, happens.
Love wins.
Yeah, love
shove
wins.
It. Shove it. Go.
All right, Bubba.
All right. The Dodgers will win two championships with Mookie Betts. Love it or shove it.
I'm always going to shove these because you just don't know. Did you see Tyreek Hill come out and say that Chris Jones, a pretty good five?
He said five.
He said, let's go seven so we can beat Michael Jordan. Quickly, Tyreek, Google Bill Russell.
Yeah.
Okay? Just Google Bill Russell. That's all I have to say. So I'm always going to shove these because, I mean, nothing is guaranteed here. And those are tough to come by, as the Dodgers have found out after winning seven straight division titles and not getting a World Series for it.
I was going to say, I shove it for that region. And to be quite honest, I think getting that one would already buy them so much good. Yeah, getting multiple would be a great idea in all of this. And what you expect anytime we see these monster double-digit year contracts. But They brought him in to signify and to show we're going full in on this idea of pushing to get over the hump right now. They've got, you know, maybe the best roster in baseball, them and the Yankees splitting hairs. So this should be, you know, their best chance to get two would be getting one in this year in a strange season and then taking this great roster out over the course of 162 games and wearing folks out.
Yeah, I just shove. Just come on. Win one. All right. Win one, then we'll talk about two. Win one, then we'll figure it out. So shove it.
Bubba.
By the way, speaking of championships, if the Blue Jays want one, I recommend they spend their season in Hartford. And it's
go.
A lock.
Respect because, the yard. Let's go.
Yeah, boom. If you haven't heard, Hartford has it. It's Love It or Shove It on Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We won't see college football until at least October, Love It or Shove It.
I think we're definitely going to push it. I think it's all leaning that way because you can. Nobody's going to have that 12-game season. You know, it's going to be 9, maybe 10 games. So you already have some room to push. I'm going to shove it, though, and I'm going to say the end of September. I know I'm really splitting hairs here by a couple of days. But just if it starts in September, it makes me feel better that it started in that month rather than October. I fear October may be the right answer, but I'm still going to shove this.
And I know we heard from Notre Dame Athletic Director Jack Swarbrick about the desire for somewhere between 8 and 10 games and all this. They sit at 9 right now. If we did 9 for most teams are in that area, that would put you weeks 1, 2, and 3, September 5th, 12th, and 19th for Notre Dame starting off this year. Week 4 would be September 26th versus Wake Forest, and so that would technically get you at the end of September.
Right.
And so I think if we're going to push the season back, which I think they probably should,
yep,
to give themselves the best opportunity here, I still think in September would likely be the timeline.
You know, I want to shove this, but I don't know if I can, you know.
Yeah.
With what thing, I don't know what I... You know what? I'm going to shove it because I think maybe they'll get one game in September, so I'm going to do it that way. That's the way to do it.
Yeah, we all think they're going to push it, but you know, we're all hoping it's the end of September.
I was going to say, and not the spring, which is...
Exactly.
I mean, we've heard a number of high-profile people talking about it. It's real. It's a thing.
It is real. It's the last resort because it's the last chance you could actually try and play this coming season next spring, which seems odd in and of itself just to say.
I guess the one thing we probably need to start broaching with that, and I know we're going a little long on this, but the idea of if college football were to have to shut down this fall, would there be a mechanism where you might be able to say, all right, we can't finish this fall, but we can bring as much as we can to spring and still have that model and idea there, or if resource-wise it'd be too difficult and too much to ask.
All the players that you'd lose, too.
Yeah.
How many are going to want to do that knowing what comes up next?
That would be interesting.
Well, and that's the danger of the spring season anyway
exactly.
that people bring
that's
up.
Exactly
so.
Right.
Just
all
a thought.
All right, Bubba.
All right, to the NFL, Joe Burrow will have a winning record with the Bengals this season. Love it or shove it.
I would be stunned if anybody said love it on this. There's no shot.
Well, look, I want to love it for a couple of reasons. They're getting 3 first-round picks back, basically, and A.J. Green and the kid last, Jonah Williams, that didn't play at all last year out of Alabama, the offensive lineman. And I think Burrow's going to be good. That division's tough. It's just hard. So I want this to be true for them, but I can't do it. I'm going to have to shove it
no
at this
way.
Point.
Yeah, I just – again, that division, you got games – at Indianapolis, you get the Titans and all this. You got a couple of games you cross over with the AFC East here, and the NFC East here. You get the Dolphins, but overall, I'm just not seeing above 500 record on any of this one. Looking at the schedule on a fly right now, I just don't think there's any shot in that.
Don't think it's happening.
I'm going to shove that one. Bubba.
All right, it's Love It or Shove It, Golic Wingo, Bubba from unnamed ESPN Radio Afternoon Show. One more quick one. Antonio Brown will find his way back into the NFL somehow, Love It or Shove It.
Well, he's retired twice, right?
He wants his discipline out there. I shove it. I don't think he's going to be there.
Shove love a ding dong.
I love it. He's going to find a way somehow, which is not something I love.
All right, that'll do it. Let's wrap it up with this. Love It or Shove It, brought to you by Grainger. As you get back to business, Grainger is there to help. With supplies and solutions for every industry, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and more, visit Grainger.com/recovery. Go Mets, DeGrom time. Cespedes is back. See ya.
See ya, Bubba. One
the
more
DeGrom-a-non.
Time. One more time next week, Bubba. Bring it hard. Bring it strong next week. That'll be it for us.
Like an inside pitch.
Oh, there you go.
Hard, bring
like
it
a
strong.
Bob Gibson.
Brush him back. That's Bubba's
pitch.
Plate.
Like a Syndergaard pitch, as Mike Golic Jr. once said. Coming up is the key to one team's NBA title hopes. I can't read that. We'll be back.
All right.